Good evening. I would like to share some thoughts that seem to arise in the space which opens up between the two titles, Why Are We Here Now? And After the Wildly Improbable. In other words, between a question and a possible direction that could address it. And since in the next 2 days we will be trying to take up the perspective of the railway in order to rethink our journeys to the here and now, I would try to follow a similar mode of thinking tonight. So, if it is common for a train to depart between two platforms, it should be common for a writer to depart between two texts in order to understand the workings of a train. The first text is a short story entitled The Clock and the Man by Samira Azam. The second text is L'Intrus, The Intruder by Jean-Luc Nancy. Growing up in Palestine in the 80s, the first time I and kids like me would ever have come across a railway track or train would have been at primary school in one of the Arabic literature classes. The curriculum then was, and still is, subject to the approval of the Israeli Censorship Bureau, which permits the teaching of texts from various Arab countries, but not Palestinian texts, fearing that they may contain references or information that could raise pupils' awareness of the question of Palestine. Hence, Palestinian literature was considered unlawful, if not taboo, similar to pornography. This is except for one text, The Clock and the Man, a short story written in 1963 by Samira Azam, which the Censorship Bureau considered as safe. Azam's story is about a young man who is getting ready to go to bed on the night before his first day at a new job. He sets his alarm to 4 o'clock in the morning in order to catch the train in time to arrive at work. No sooner had the alarm gone off that morning when there came a knock at the young man's front door. Once he opened it, he found an old man standing in front of him. He had not a clue who this man was, and he did not get a chance to ask him, since the man immediately turned and walked away, disappearing into the darkness. As this was repeated day after day, the young man no longer set the alarm. It was only several months later that he discovered who the old man was after a colleague told him the same man went knocking on the front doors of all the employees in their company. He would wake them up so that they would not be late for their train, as he did not want anyone else to meet the same fate as his own son, who had arrived a little late at the station one morning, just as the train was leaving. The son had grabbed onto one of the doors, but his hand had betrayed him, and he slipped, falling into the tracks under the wheels of the train. Although at first glance the story might seem both simple and safe to the censor's eyes, it contributed to shaping the consciousness of many of us kids back then regarding the existence of a previous normality in Palestine as no other text we had read or ever would read had done. Had there been a normal everyday life for Palestinians at one point in time? Were Palestinian employees would commute to work by train? Was it trains whistling past and between the houses in those times rather than the sirens of military jeeps and ambulance vehicles? The sheer possibility of a train having noisily traversed the Palestinian landscape in the past engraved in us a deep longing for all that was normal and banal in the face of oppression and destruction we've been living. The train and the tracks on which Azam's protagonist falls to meet his fate could well have been a section of the Ottoman railway network. In that sense, this railway made it possible for Azam to write her story, which then made it possible for us kids to imagine a mode of living different to that which we were being forced to live under. It was thus inevitable that over the years, an additional question would form as to the nature of railways, leading to why we are here now. Are railways a technical performance or a metaphysical adventure? In the second text, Lintroux, Jean-Luc Nancy, describes a situation from which one can derive a possible answer to this question. Nancy wrote this essay in the aftermath of surviving a heart transplant in the 90s. There he comments on the technology that enables operations like the transplantation of someone else's heart into another person, leading him to conclude that, had he lived in earlier times, he would be dead. With this last observation in mind, yet with a contrary result, it could be said that had the character in Azam's story lived in earlier times, before railway technology had emerged, he would not have died. But then, without the emergence of this technology, the story would not have been written, nor could we have the transformative effect of an awakening which we experienced as kids growing up in Palestine. Similarly, we can add that without the heart transplant technology, not only would Nancy not be alive today, but he would not have written his essay, Lintroux. Thus, Nancy argues that the debate between those who consider technological inventions to be a metaphysical adventure and those who see them as a mere technical performance is vain. For such inventions are a matter of both, one and the other. A railway is both a technical performance and, at the same time, a metaphysical adventure. But so far, this has been the experience only of those who, like us, Palestinian kids, had never before in their life boarded a train. What about those who actually had and continue to do so? Do they also consider technological inventions to be a metaphysical adventure within a technical performance? Returning to Azam's character, let's imagine that he arrives a few minutes earlier and that rather than falling between the tracks to meet his fate, he boards the train. Now, what will be the reaction of the train to him entering its body? Unlike the human body, which normally rejects strange bodies trying to enter it, for the train, Azam's protagonist has the right to board it and remain aboard it as long as he wishes. The train, from its own perspective, does not see in him a stranger or an intruder. No matter what length of time he is aboard, he is awaited without any part of him being unexpected or unwelcome. In this sense, the stranger passenger inside the body of the train is the total opposite of the stranger's heart transplanted into a human body, which Nancy identifies as the intruder. Now, we can continue to imagine that Azam's character finally arrives at his destination. He disembarks from the train, stepping onto the ground into the here and now. How will he be received and perceived? On the ground, it is also quite common that one's presence is measured according to the level of intrusion others perceive it to be, as if each person is a heart being transplanted constantly in the body of another. And the intruder, Nancy writes, is seen to enter by force, through surprise or ruse, in any case without the right and without having first been admitted. Likewise, it is not unexpected that the coming of Azam's character will also be seen in some aspects as an intrusion to the here and now. That is to say, being without right, familiarity, or habit. His arrival will not cease to be considered a disturbance of the intimacy felt by those on the ground. The perception of intrusion is then, without any doubt, is an outcome of the human perspective rather than that of a train or being aboard a train. Some of those on the ground, though, motivated by what Nancy calls moral correctness, might receive the stranger passenger, such as the character in Azam's story, by eliminating his strangeness at the threshold. In other words, by not really receiving him or welcoming who he is. Otherwise, he might turn into a foreigner, migrant, newcomer, or refugee. standing on the platform, Azam's character might watch as the train departs, leaving him behind, yet only after he has been transformed by the journey. The railway perspective had revealed to him a whole set of possibilities of being, which are different from those that exist on land. Some would describe such possibilities as wildly improbable, yet not he, and hopefully not us, in the aftermath of the coming 2 days of this event. And here I would like also to join Catherine to thank the wonderful participants, and the great team. Thank you.